ancient rituals are all around us, and people are going through them, and they don't even realize that they're in the middle of a humiliation ritual. And so today's topic, we're going to go into what it is, how it works, if you're in one, and how in the world you're supposed to get out, what the purpose of these rituals are. So a humiliation ritual is a deliberate practice that's designed to degrade, embarrass, and shame an individual, a group of people, and the often form of it comes in the form of punishment, initiation, or just social control. These rituals can occur in various contexts, including hazing and other initiations. You see this a lot with fraternities, sororities, military units, and sports teams. They literally go in and they force the new people to go through an initiation phase in order to test their loyalty and enforce the hierarchy. You also see humiliation rituals in workplace and institutional type abusive situations where you have these toxic workplace environments, these cults or authoritarian regimes that are used to humiliate and break down the resistance and enforce the conformity of the people who are working there. You have public shaming. Historically, this has been done a lot. Modernly, it's online, where you see this cancel culture that's serving as humiliation rituals or different things that they put in the news to make certain groups feel bad about themselves. You have interpersonal abuse. This typically happens in abusive relationships where you may have one partner who's trying to humiliate the other one just in order to assert their dominance within that relationship. You even see humiliation rituals in religious and cultural practices. You have some traditions where they have rituals of atonement and penance that involves public humiliation. Now, when you're going through these humiliation rituals, there are psychological effects that take place. Normally, it can lead to long-term trauma, PTSD, a loss of self-esteem, increased submission or compliance, and resentment, or a desire for revenge. If you look at it historically, this was done when they had the Roman triumph. The generals would literally take their defeated enemies in chains and parade them out in front of everybody. You had the Scarlet Letter, where you had the forced public shaming for adultery. And there's just a lot of different things that's happened throughout time. But the biggest humiliation ritual that most people do not realize is a humiliation ritual is marriage. Marriage in these relationships. And we're going to go deeper into why marriage is a humiliation ritual, specifically for the female that's involved.
The humiliation ritual, married women in psychological prisons. This isn't about love gone cold. This is about psychological captivity disguised as marriage. And many of these women don't even know they're in it. Because humiliation doesn't always come with bruises. It comes with silence, contradictions, spiritual decay. One, what the humiliation looks like. For both childless and mothering wives, the humiliation ritual often includes emotional invalidation. Her thoughts are minimized. Her concerns turned into arguments. He re-centers everything around his discomfort. Performative intimacy, sex as duty, affection as manipulation, love reduced to survival currency. Psychological gaslighting. She begins to question if she's the problem. He breaks her, then tells her she's too broken to be loved. Public respect, private disregard. He praises her in front of friends or family to maintain the image, but starves her emotionally behind closed doors. Weaponized instability, finances, moods, decisions, everything is kept just unstable enough to keep her tethered, grateful, off balance. This is psychological warfare. It's not just marriage issues. It's soul erosion day by day.
In your marriages, in these long-term relationships, typically there's some type of psychological control, punishment, and dominance. And these behaviors may not have always been labeled as a ritual, quote unquote, but in the formal sense, if you keep repeating it over and over, they have degrading patterns that lead to ritualistic behavior. At this point, I'm sure you're wondering, why in the world are they putting women through this humiliation ritual? Well, there is a spiritual reason why this must be done on our planet today. In prior podcasts, I went over the Great Mother. In fact, for Mother's Day, I did an entire podcast that dissected the Great Mother Goddess versus the Male Father God. And That was basically the energy that ran this planet for a very long time. Unfortunately, the planet fell down to the patriarchy. Once patriarchy was put in place, the mother goddess was put underfoot, and the father god became the sole primary ruler. No longer did you have equality between the masculine and feminine principles. All of a sudden, the masculine took center stage, and the feminine was pretty much subjugated and stomped out. Well, marriage is a ritual that mimics this on the planet. You got to think, the females are the embodiment of that feminine energy, that divine feminine. And so your masculine energy wants to rule. So they set up this institution of holy matrimony where the man is the ruler and the woman is underfoot. Ladies, those of you who are in these marriages, if you're honest with yourself, I'm sure there's been plenty of times where you felt undermined. You felt like, this man is not listening to me. Why am I wasting my energy? Sometimes you may have ever felt like, you know, I can do this on my own. I don't even need him. Why am I with this guy? The reason you're feeling that way is because you were uniquely and divinely made. You did not need another person to make you whole or complete the way that they tried to tell you that you did. Again, all of this is the ritual. It's one big humiliation ritual, which is designed to keep the feminine energy underfoot. Just like I told you guys about the election between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. I broke that down and I told you he's the embodiment of patriarchy. She represented the divine feminine energy. So they again let the man win and put him back on the throne. Everything they do is a ritual. And the reason why these marriages just don't seem to work out is because it's a demonic ritual that they set up to begin with. If you look back prior to patriarchy, marriages were totally different than they are today. And I'm sure many of the people who participated in those unions were much happier than the people who are participating in them today. I've heard stories of couples who dated for years. And as soon as they get married, as soon as they go before the clergy and they make this commitment to God, all of a sudden all these problems pop up. The reason why is because they're participating in a humiliation ritual. That's why you have to have somebody from the church perform the ceremony, because it's a ritual. So again, this is something that they have been using to stomp out the divine energy, the feminine energy on the planet, which is why these marriages are cursed from the start and why so many women today are finally beginning to leave and to wake up, is because the energy on the planet is changing. And so the women who are connected to that divine feminine energy are realizing that I made a huge mistake, and they're getting up and they're getting out of these institutions that they set up under the patriarchy. And on that note, you know what time it is. It's time for a spirit break. For example, you have public embarrassment. If your spouse has ever mocked you, belittled you in front of your friends, your family members, shared private or sexual secrets to try to shame you socially, or just picking on you constantly in front of other people, that's part of that humiliation ritual. For submission acts, where you have a partner that may make the other one beg for money or food or basic needs. You see this a lot with these controlling husbands, where they don't want to let the wife have access to funds. So they control every aspect of the relationship, or they demand that certain tasks, degrading tasks, be performed, like making them crawl or wear humiliating clothing. I've seen it where you have a lot of these men that they don't want their wives to wear makeup. They don't want their wives to wear weaves and to beautify themselves. They don't want to let them wear beautiful outfits or gowns or certain garments, so they make them look very plain and drab. Or you see them in certain religious groups where the women have to wear these sheets over them and cover up their faces. All of those are forced submission, which again is part of that humiliation ritual. You have the sexual humiliation where you may have a partner who is forcing the other one to do unwanted sexual acts in order to prove their love. Or they're constantly criticizing the other person's body, telling her or him he's too fat, they're unattractive, or picking on the way that they perform in bed, and then withholding affection for them if they don't do what they want them to do. Gaslighting and emotional torment, where they're regularly dismissing the other person's feelings and saying that, oh, you're just overreacting, or forcing them to apologize excessively for minor issues. It may be something very simple that happened and they just blow it all out of proportion and make the other person constantly feel like, I'm never right. I can't do anything right. I'm always making these mistakes, because they're beating them down with that. Another big one that I see in a lot of marriages is the isolation and the control factor, where they're cutting you off from your friends and families and then mocking your loneliness. So once they've eliminated all your friends and got rid of everybody, then they tell you nobody wants to hang around with you. It's your fault you have no friends. You're just not a friendly person. Or they start trying to control your appearance, telling you what you can wear or how you should cut your hair, or you can't do this without my permission. Again, all that's part of that humiliation ritual. Then you have punishment rituals, where some abusive partners will enforce arbitrary rules that have degrading consequences, such as writing self-insulting letters or standing in a corner and doing all types of just silly, foolish things so that they can put their power over you. And then you have to stop and ask yourself, why do partners use humiliation? They do this for a number of reasons. And I remember there was a podcast you can go back and listen to where we talked about how these provider men are control freaks. They do this because they want that power imbalance. Now, those of you who are coming from religious organizations, you already know when you're going into a marital commitment, it's already going to be a power imbalance, because they taught you that the man is supposed to be the head and the woman is just to help me. So in that situation, you have these men who want to maintain control. And the way that they do it is through fear and shame, constant belittling you, constantly putting you down, or raising their voice at you, screaming and yelling, throwing and breaking things, pushing and shoving you. That's how they keep the women in line. Then you also have their insecurity, because a lot of these men are very insecure, believe it or not, ladies. They are extremely insecure. And where they'll come to you and pretend like, oh, I got it all together, I look good, this, this, and that. Deep down, there's a little boy inside of them that's yearning for attention and who feels inadequate. So what they do is they try to mask their own inadequacies by breaking your confidence and making you feel bad about yourself. They also use learned behavior. So if you're dealing with a man who has come out of an abusive childhood or other past relationships, which is why it's very important to do background checks on these men, to look them up. If you find DVPOs and domestic violence, all types of stuff on file for other women, 9 times out of 10, if you get in a relationship with him, he's going to do the exact same thing to you, because it's a repeated pattern. People usually do what they're used to doing. The best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. So you can't listen to a person that tells you, oh, my ex was just crazy, she was just a weirdo. No, 9 out of 10, he was the one that was crazy. And if you get into a marital relationship with him, you are willingly entering into a humiliation ritual. These types of rituals have a psychological impact. And over time, if you don't get out of these relationships, they begin to erode your self-worth, which is going to lead to anxiety and depression. So many women are suffering with anxiety and depression, especially the depression, because a lot of men like to intentionally compare you to other women. Some of them are bold enough to bring the women up in your face. They'll do all types of just terrible things to beat down your self-esteem. And then what happens is if you stay in this relationship too long, it creates a trauma bond. So the next thing you know, you're feeling like you're stuck and there's no way out. And if you don't get out, 9 times out of 10, it's going to escalate into physical abuse. If a man will cuss at you, if he'll yell at you, if he'll scream at you, if he will withhold food from you, if he'll do all these things, he will hit you. That's the next phase. And if you're beginning to recognize that your marriage is in fact a humiliation ritual or any other relationship that you're in, then it's very important that you begin to address this carefully, and you need to understand what you're going through so that you can get out. So I'm going to go through step by step how you can recognize the signs and what you need to do so that you put yourself into a place of safety and peace. So let's think about it this way. Let's ask yourself these questions. Does my partner repeatedly mock, insult, or degrade me? Do I feel control through shame or fear? Am I forced to comply with arbitrary, demeaning rules? Do I hide their behavior from others out of embarrassment? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you are going through emotional abuse. This is not normal conflict. Your spouse should not be insulting you and degrading you on a daily basis. They should not be trying to control your every move. They should not be demanding that you comply with any of their crazy rules. And they most definitely should not be trying to hide these behaviors when other people are around. That means that, number one, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing is not right, and they're intentionally doing it. Therefore, you need to trust your feelings. Most victims in this situation, they begin to rationalize the abuse by thinking, well, maybe I deserved it. Or they're just stressed out today. They'll be in a better mood tomorrow. No, this is abuse, ladies. A lot of times people make you believe that the only type of abuse in your relationship is physical abuse. And if he's not punching you or slapping you, then he's not abusing you. But there's a whole lot of abuse that happens within these marital relationships. A healthy relationship does not need to use humiliation to teach you a lesson. That does not happen. And love does not equal control. A person that loves you does not want to control you. A partner who truly cares about you would not delight in your suffering. So if you see them with the smirk on their face whenever you hurt yourself or you feel bad, that person is humiliating you and they're getting pleasure out of it. 9 times out of 10, they're probably a sadist. So what should you do? You need to first begin to set boundaries. You need to choose to confront the behavior. Just make sure it's safe to do so, because some of these men are off the chain crazy. You can do this by using clear language, such as, it's not okay to call me whatever the insult was or mock me in front of others. Avoid justifying. Don't say, maybe I overreacted, but why? Because this gives them more power. Observe their reaction. You're too sensitive, or you hurt me. That's a huge red flag. And a lot of abusers love to do this. When you try to tell them how you feel, they'll flip that thing around on you and they become defensive. They'll start telling you, you're overreacting. I didn't mean it that way. You're taking everything wrong. Instead of just saying, I'm sorry. If this person is unwilling to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, that's a gigantic red flag. Also, a lot of these abusers will like to minimize what they did to you and say it was just a joke. By them doing that, they're dismissing your pain. And they're not acknowledging the fact that you are even experiencing any pain. And then you have to stop and ask yourself, is this person willing to change? If they apologize and adjust the behavior, growth is possible. However, if they start yelling, threatening, violence, throwing your stuff, breaking your cell phone, hitting your laptop, this person is crazy and you need to get the hell out of there. You need to go ahead and seek some support. First, I would start by probably confiding in someone that you can trust. a good friend, which I know today is hard to find, but if you got one, maybe a friend or a therapist, domestic violence hotlines. There's tons of hotlines that you can call nationwide that can assist you. Also, remember, isolation fuels abuse. A lot of times these people don't start putting their hands on you until you're away from your family and friends. Why? Because they know it's harder for you to get away. You want to document all incidents. You need to document the dates, the quotes, screenshots, just in case you end up having to get legal protection. And then you want to set yourself up to be financially independent. It's extremely dangerous today to be depending on a man for anything. Why? Because they will use the money and the resources as a weapon for control. This is nothing new. Your grandparents, your grandmothers have gone through these things for many, many years.
So when you got a divorce, you didn't say nothing to nobody. You didn't tell the mother-in-law, nobody.
No.
Why not?
They tell me to go back. That you're supposed to stay with the man no matter what. I said, I know God didn't mean for me to marry someone and stay in a marriage like this. I said, my grandmama, it's a sin to get a divorce. I said, no, it's a sin to be treated in the kind of way you married. Mm-hmm. And I said, all my life, I've been trying to do right, doing what my grandmama and mama tell me I should do. I said, I'm tired of this. I said, I'm going to change. I'm going to do what I say do. Yeah.
That's right.
So that's what I did.
You made your mind up and you went with it.
Well, where you staying? I said, can't tell your mother.
You told your mom that? Mm-hmm.
My sister, where you staying? I can't tell you. Well, a piece of man better know, man. You need to go behind your husband. That's where you marry me. Hung up on him. And that was my sweetest sister. We were close. But I wasn't going to let nobody tell me to go back.
People just never talked about it. They swept it under the rug. You had the neighbors and the family members who they knew husband was beating a woman every night, every weekend, beating on the weekends. And nobody said anything. Nobody mentioned anything. They just kept on going on about their business. Well, today, we're not doing that anymore. It's time for you to seek support. You have to decide, can this relationship change? If your partner acknowledges harm, seeks help, such as therapy and anger management, recovery may be possible, but I'm telling you, it's extremely rare. Why? Because people are creatures of habit. So if the pattern continues, which most likely it will, you have to stop and ask yourself, can I live like this for the rest of my life? And if the answer is no, then leaving is the only way for you to heal. That's what I did with myself. I thought about my life for the past 23, 24 years. And I said, do I want to spend the rest of my natural life in this relationship? And if thought about it, I said, hell no. I'm getting out of here because I know life got more to offer. I'm out. That's what you have to do. So once you make that decision that I'm sick of the humiliation ritual, I'm tired of being the doormat, I'm tired of being the help me, I'm tired of turning the other cheek, now it's time for you to come up with an exit plan. And if the humiliation escalates to threats, sexual coercion, or physical violence, you need to contact domestic violence organizations immediately. Look for shelters, legal aid, and safe planning. If it hasn't gotten that far, then you need to take your time and get the heebie-jeebies out of there. You want to make sure that you secure important documents like your photo IDs, your bank identification information. And then you need to hide it online. It's a way that you can take your information and actually upload it to the cloud, because sometimes in these situations, you have to just run. You got women who literally have to run in the middle of the night with nothing but the clothes on their backs. And in that situation, all of your stuff is going to be left wherever you were living at. So you want to avoid warning the abuser, because during this time, that's the most dangerous time. That's when they normally will kill the woman, because they don't want all the abuse that they've been doing to you to go out to the public, to go out to your family, your friends. They don't want to have to pay the price for all these crimes they've committed. Because in a lot of these marital relationships, you got all kinds of crimes being committed. Rape, beating, incest, all types of stuff. But you have to remember, ladies, that you deserve respect. Humiliation is never a normal or healthy part of love. Again, it doesn't matter if it's within the marriage, with it between family members and friends. If these people are insulting you constantly, they're putting you down, they're making you feel bad about yourself, leave them alone. Those people are abusing you. You are not sent here to go through these types of humiliation rituals. This is not normal. And then you have to remember, it's not your fault. Abuse is all about power, not your self-worth. Abusers will try to make the person they're abusing feel inadequate, feel bad, feel like you deserve it. You do not deserve to be beaten, to be lied to be cheated on, to be defrauded. None of those things are things that you deserve. It's nothing that you did to contribute to that. Whoever's doing these things to you is a weirdo who you need to get the hell away from. And you need to remember that healing is possible. Therapy, especially trauma-informed, can rebuild your self-esteem, because when you've been in these types of relationships, especially for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, some people, their whole life, they've always been abused. You become accustomed to it, and then it begins to shape your self-esteem. You have to remember that whatever has happened to you, again, is not your fault. These people are crazy. And unfortunately, this society is just fostering these abusive-type relationships. They make people think it's okay to be narcissistic, to be crazy, to put themselves above everyone else and treat everybody around them like trash. You are not supposed to be living that way. And that's why I said a lot of our institutions, from work to religion to relationships, are all nothing but big humiliation rituals that are set up to make you feel less than. What you have to do is you have to lock into some key truths. You were never too sensitive. Degradation is a tactic of control, not love. Your worth was never up for debate. Their cruelty reflected their brokenness, not yours. And leaving is an act of courage. So many people have stayed trapped for years. You need to choose freedom. Again, the choice is yours. There are two roads in front of you. You have life and death. Unfortunately, a lot of people are on that path that leads to death. And in the end, they think they're doing the right thing, but they end up in a deadly situation. You have to do what's right for you. Do not let society, your parents, or whoever come along and tell you, you need to stay in this relationship. The Lord has ordained this. No, nobody should be in an abusive relationship. I don't care, just because you got a marriage license and it's legalized with the court system and it's supposed to be holy in matrimony, you don't have to stay in that situation. You have a right to get out. No one should be forced to live a substandard life and be put down and ridiculed for the rest of their natural life. You deserve better. You deserve to have love. You deserve to have safety. You deserve to have support, and you need to go and reach for that. Life is not over until your breath leaves your body. So I don't care how long you've been in this situation, you can make a change today. And I also want to let you know this too. These humiliation rituals, as I said in the beginning, were used a lot of times within religious groups and organizations. But in the ancient times, when people went through these types of rituals, when they came out, they ascended. They came out with more power. Just like with the story of Christ, he was crucified. He was laughed at. They put a crown of thorns on his head, left him hanging on a cross like he was a crook and a criminal. He died and went into hell. That was all humiliation ritual. But when he came up, he had more power. He had the keys to life, death, and the grave. It's the same thing with you. Those of you who are chosen, those of you who are of a divine destiny, your life was planned this way for a reason. You are Christ's seed. Now that you have come out of this humiliation ritual, whether it was with your family, with your relationships, with your marriage, that means that now you are about to ascend. All that pain, all that suffering, everything that you went through was only to build you down so that you go deeper depths, higher heights. That's what it was all meant for. So don't feel bad about your situation. Don't feel like there's something wrong with you, because there isn't. You were chosen for this. You were put on a special mission for a reason. And now you're about to go up to where you're supposed to be.
Here's what's happening next. Everything is about to open wide. The waiting season is ending. Doors are swinging open. The opportunities you couldn't even picture, they're lining up right now. You're walking straight into your breakthrough, not someday, now. This is the moment where it all starts to click. You've already paid your dues. You've already carried what needed carrying. You've already fought the battles that no one saw. That part's done. This is the payoff. This is the season that you were building for even before you knew it. And that weight you used to feel, gone. And all the second guessing, it's fading away. And struggle? You're getting so strong now, the struggle feels like a game. You're stepping into a version of life that finally fits. Bigger, brighter, lighter. You're not who you were, and you'll never go back. And one day, you're going to look back at this exact moment, and you'll know. That was it. That was the moment. That's where the shift happened. That's when the future opened. That's when I became who I was meant to be. So keep your eyes forward, because the best isn't coming. The best has arrived. It's you. It was always you.
So rejoice. That's why those scriptures said, rejoice in your suffering. Rejoice because you know that after you come out of this, you're going to be on a whole nother level. And it was all for a purpose and for a reason. I'm glad I got my girl.
The best radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
The Golden Race, conscious radio for the conscious community.